Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae has put hundreds of millions back into the hands of Mississippi citizens, expanding the state's affordable college and career savings program and also returning record amounts of unclaimed money. Check out how Treasurer David McRae's office can help you, your business, or your organization. Treasury.ms.gov.
Welcome in, everybody, to this postgame edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Always glad that you are with me, especially on a day like this one where Ole Miss dominates Tulane, as they should have, but dominates Tulane in the first ever college football playoff game. So glad you guys are here. And again, welcome in. Before we get started, I want to invite you, please subscribe, leave a comment, like the video, all that good stuff, and search wherever you get your podcasts for Rebel Report and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. So I've got some thoughts, big picture thoughts. We'll go through the box score. We'll read your comments. And we'll get you out of here so you guys can celebrate on this perfect Saturday night here in Oxford. But first, I want to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com, off of exit 40 in Brookhaven. But hey, you guys know this. You've been listening to me long enough. You know that if you want a great car buying experience, you don't need to just settle for something in your backyard. It's worth the trip to go to Brookhaven. Check out their online inventory and check them out. ToyotaBrookhaven.com. They will deliver for you. So 41-10 the final. Before we get into the box score, before we get into anything else, you guys know me, and I probably talk about it too much, but you know that I am very pro-fan, and I walked around the stadium right at halftime and then right after the third quarter light show thing, just to kind of get a vibe of what the stadium felt like. Walked through the Grove, of course, before the game as well, but I wanted to get a feel for what it was like inside of the stadium. And I mean, I'm going to keep using the word therapeutic. I feel like that was the best adjective that I could come up with. Was today was a therapeutic day for the fans in particular, because I mean, it was basically a perfect day, right? Not only the weather was stunning, but everything involved with the game itself went perfectly, right? I mean, the flyover was really cool. Those helicopters, I mean, they took forever to get above the stadium. They were moving slow and they were really low to the ground. Trace Adkins's national anthem was actually really good. I didn't know what I expected from him, but I was kind of blown away by that. I mean, everything that they did from a production standpoint, the lights, the laser shows, the all of it went beautifully. And then, of course, the team on the field played as well as they did tonight. So there was a therapeutic feel, like just a sense of pure joy around the stadium, because as you guys know, you've been through it, not just over the last few weeks with the having the season that your team has had, but the will he, won't he, will he, won't he, will he, won't he, and all the drama and all the stuff and all of the other things that came with that. It's been a drama-filled last few weeks. But on top of all of that, you guys, those of you that have been lifers for Ole Miss football, you have endured a lot of bad in this stadium. I mean, I was talking to somebody earlier this week about the Louisiana Tech game in 2011. And there is no way, because I went to that game and I sat in the stands, and there is absolutely no way that you would have convinced me in that moment in 2011, sitting watching Ole Miss get beat badly by Louisiana Tech in front of 17,000 people or whatever bothered to show up, that not too terribly long from then, just, you know, 14 years later, but that's not that long, that the stadium would have 68,000 people in it for a college football playoff game, winning the 12th game of the season and having the environment that they had today. You never would have convinced me that that is where this program was headed. So ultimately, like I say to you guys all the time, I'm very happy for you. The fan. I'm happy for the team as well, playing as well as they did, as Trinidad's in full uniform actually walking back on the field. probably going to take some pictures and stuff like that. But I'm very happy for you guys that have been put through what you've been put through as fans over the decades, but also the last few weeks. I'm happy for the team. And today felt like a day where Ole Miss just belonged. It fit, right? The atmosphere was elite. Fan behavior, quote unquote, today was elite. And the team on the field today played like elite's a strong word, a very good team. We'll put it that way. And I'm just very happy for a lot of people, including all of you guys that listen and do all of those things every day. So that's number one. Number two, Pete Golding and the team, they showed a lot today. I mean, we've spent the 2 weeks leading up to this game talking about veteran leadership, character, things like that about the football team. But this, as you guys know, as you've heard about constantly, is an unprecedented situation, right? Having a coach leave a playoff team is something that I don't think is going to become commonplace. Dealing with what they dealt with is unique. And for them to yet again deal with more distraction, deal with Lane doing what he did and the way he did it, leaving that team, and for the result on the field to basically mirror what happened back in September with the same team, with all of the pressure of the playoff and all of the distraction that Kiffin's actions should have caused this team, and yet ultimately they did not, is incredibly impressive. That shows you that, as we've talked about, you have a really mentally tough football team filled with a lot of really clearly good leaders. But I think the way that team played today shows you a lot about Pete Golding and how he, at least for one game, can navigate an unprecedented situation. And you guys have heard, and you know what he had to deal with Lane leaving and then signing day and all of those things. To navigate all of that as a first-time head coach, and to navigate being a first-time head coach in a playoff game, and for the team to be as prepared to play and as good as they were today, it wasn't perfect, and we'll talk about that, but for them to do what they did today, a 31-point win in a playoff game, regardless of opponent, is just, it tells you a lot about your team, but it tells you a lot about your new head coach. This was really impressive considering what they were up against. And, I mean, dominated the game by and large. It just, it tells you a lot about what you have moving forward with your head coach. All right, box score. Trinidad Chambliss, 23 of 29 for 282 and a touchdown. As you guys know, did get hurt in the game, came back in and played well. Austin Simmons was 4 of 5 for 64 yards, did have that fumble right at the end of the first half. They were on their way into score, and he did fumble. Got hit in the blind side. You guys saw it. But that did happen. Receiving, Deuce Alexander led the team in receptions and yards, 7 for 87. Dejon Stribling had 5 for 79 and a touchdown. Daquan Wright had 64 on 4 catches. And here, yet again, with this team and this offense, this is what they have done all season. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different Ole Miss players caught a pass today, and that is just typical for this team this year. They were also especially good in the red zone today. Red zone offense has been a little weird for this team this season. Not today. They were good in the red zone today. Rushing, Kewon Lacy had 15 carries for 87 yards. That is 5.8 per carry and a touchdown. Trinidad had a couple of touchdowns on 36 yards. Damian Taylor got in the game, ran well, and I was happy to see Logan Diggs get carries and have a touchdown in the game. And that little spin move that he put on in the open field on the far side of the field, that was shifty. And I was happy to see a guy like him, who should have played more, especially in the games in which they were in control of, for multiple reasons. One, to protect Kewon, and two, because he's good enough, as you saw today, to get those opportunities. It was good to see him take advantage of those. And make the most out of it and have one really impressive highlight play. Carnero made both of his field goals from 42 and 48, and the one from 48 could have been good from like 65. It was a good kick. Defensively, Dottery led the team in tackles. He had six, including a forced fumble. Will Eccles had six, including a TFL. Wydett Williams had five. Centarian Perkins had 2.5 tackles for loss. Cam Franklin had a half a sack. Prince Will had a sack and a half in the game. Xavier Harris had a half a sack as well. Two sacks for the Ole Miss defense, six TFLs. And on the other side, I do think you saw what we were talking about going into the game. You got a much better effort from Retzloff today, and he was really good on the run as well. He was pressured a lot today. Tulane did a really good job, I think, of getting him out of the pocket. And he made a handful, more than a handful of throws today on the run, under pressure, accurate. You know, they'd scored 10 points, and, you know, he threw for 306, had the interception as well. But I thought that he showed you what we talked about going into the game is just how good he can be and how much better he is than he was back in September when they played. And for what it's worth, I'm actually looking out on the field right now. Austin Simmons, also still in full uniform, hanging out right around the 15-yard line, just kind of on his own, just hanging out, standing there. Don't know if he's waiting for somebody or if he's reflecting. That's interesting. But anyway, we move on. So Retzloff threw for 306, had a touchdown and a pick. Tulane ran for 115 yards, but only on 3.4 per carry. But Tulane's offense had some success today until they crossed the 50. That was the theme for the Ole Miss defense today. Offense was good, like typical, same game. Really didn't look any different today, other than in the red zone. Really didn't look any different today offensively. I mean, it was just the same. Defensively, gave up some big yards on early downs on the Tulane side of the field. But for whatever reason, when Tulane would cross the 50, that's when Ole Miss's defense tightened up. You had a turnover on downs, fumble in there, an interception in there. And they just, up until the very end, when you had backups in the game and garbage time, bend but don't break is like a cliche thing that people say a lot, of course. But that is what Ole Miss defensively did today. They bent a lot, but when it came time, they did not break. And so, again, an impressive performance, a situation that nobody has ever been in before, and they navigated it beautifully today. And they win 41-10, and off to New Orleans they go. And off to New Orleans I go as well. I'll be there, and I assume a ton of you guys will be there as well. And I'm looking forward to doing that with you guys and seeing you guys down there. So.
For a celebration, I'll probably need a cane to walk around.
Here we go to the comments. I'll scroll up a little bit actually. Please, let's quit bringing up the former coach and move on. I'm sure he loves it, but I don't want to do anything he loves. Here, let me tell you something. That dude was, there's no doubt, was miserable today. There's no doubt. He was absolutely miserable watching, not only watching Ole Miss play in the playoff, but them look like they didn't need him. That's what it looked like today. Ole Miss did not miss Lane Kiffin today at all. Did not miss him at all. And maybe they will. Maybe they will in 26. Maybe they will in New Orleans. But today, they didn't miss Lane Kiffin at all today. And I promise you, that's not sitting well in Baton Rouge. 12-1. Yep. And they're not done yet. Say proud to be a Rebel. Proud of you, Michael, for navigating through the circus and keeping us informed. Well, thank you. Really appreciate you. I just try to talk about what you guys are talking about. That's all I'm trying to do. Game looks so much worse than last time. I know score is similar, but watching it on TV looked more dominant today. Logan Diggs looked good out there. He needs more carries to help Lacy, but he doesn't block in pass protection as good as Lacy. No, Lacy's elite in pass protection. So that is that's part of that. But Jason, that's among all the great things that Lane Kiffin did at Ole Miss, and there is a long, long, long list of great things that he did at Ole Miss. One of the things that was not was rotations. And when you're late in the third quarter playing the Citadel and Kiwan still on the field, that never made sense to me. And Diggs today showed you why. Wash from Australia. Wow. Nice to hear the commentators not make it all about an old coach and giving Charlie some credit along with Pete and the players. Did not miss Kiffin at all today. Proud of the team. Hope Lacy is okay for the Georgia game. Him coming back in, I think, should tell you that he'll be good to go for New Orleans. Maybe sore, maybe hurt. But you saw the way he ran today. If there's something going on, they'll stick a put a big needle in there and give him some feel-good stuff, and he'll play. Great show at the library. Yeah, we had fun. We had a lot of fun. Oh, I love our LSU fans. This chat is fools. This was Tulane, not SEC champ winner in Georgia. Ole Miss going up. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed the game today, watching Ole Miss play in the playoff today. I hope you enjoyed that. The Pete Fleet, playoff Pete, portal Pete. His reception today was interesting. In a good way. I mean, signage, everything all over the Grove. The loudest crowd pop pregame was when they showed him on the video board. It's clear everybody here is completely bought in to him. Can you explain why it's been an issue in numerous games coming out extremely well on offense initially and then hitting an extensive lull after the first 2 to 3 series? That's a great question. You know, there's been a lot of talk about script, and once they go off script, they have a hard time adjusting. Maybe it's that. Maybe Tulane. I mean, Tulane's really well coached. I know that they lack the athletes to compete in a game like this, truly, but Tulane made some adjustments, I'm sure, as well. And, I mean, you had a drop on a third down when Ole Miss was moving the football, where if you it was just a little slant, right? I think it was Deuce that dropped it. Would have been a big gain, and instead Ole Miss had to punt it away. Things like that, so. Why am I whispering? Because there are other people working in here, and I don't want to be disruptive. So I can probably turn that up a little bit, but I don't want to mess with it. So that's why. There's other people working in here, and I don't want to bother them. So I hope the audio is okay. Well, let me rephrase that. First, that's just a little bit. So, not quite. Keeping the momentum of the game. We did it, Borky. Yeah. Yeah. Therapy. That's a good one. Running back pass protection, like DB run assistance, is more about want to than anything else. Yeah. Beat the best team in Louisiana. Tulane was the best team in Louisiana this year. Their governor forgot about that on Twitter. He had to be reminded that, hey, by the way, Gov, you're the governor of the whole state, not of Baton Rouge. Defense was great. Just think most of the players already re-up. Yeah, you're going to see, I mean, every program, no matter what, coaching change, not coaching change, are going to have players at the portal, even some that you want to keep. But I do expect that defense to stick together for sure. The ones that have eligibility anyway. This is the first game I've been to that the entire stadium bought into the energy. Great atmosphere. It was unbelievable. Truly. I mean, that was, I'm sure because of the score, for four quarters, there's been louder games. But in terms of just atmosphere and involvement, I mean, y'all down there singing a cappella was really cool. There's a lot of joy in here tonight. Stribling looked awesome. Yes, he did. Didn't see Watkins today. Did I miss something? I think he got on the field a little bit, but was not targeted at all and did not play much today. I hesitate to read into that, but I'm not surprised by that, if that makes sense. Is that bad that I wanted them to score again to beat them by more than last time? Callie, I was up here in the box saying, go score, Pete, go. And then when they had Simmons taking me, I went, oh, come on. Like I said that out loud in here. I wanted them to do that too. The overwhelming support for Pete by the fans was pretty cool to see. Yes, it was. Stribling may have another year since he was injured last year. I think he's NFL ready. But, you know, if he doesn't get the grade that he wants, then he doesn't, you know, then he doesn't go. His team was ready to play. Mad props to Pete Golding. Massive undertaking, getting this ready with everything that happened. Also building one hell of a staff at the same time. Monumental. Mikey, just wait until they hire the tight ends coach. If Neil McCready is right about who they're expected to hire, things change, of course. If he's right about that, holy crap. It will be an elite staff. It already is really good, but might be wrong, but honestly think that this team knew that they could play defensively and really feel like at half Ole Miss laid off and saved a lot of schemes, possibly. Tulane just ruined it for future G5 teams. What I want moving forward is there to be a path for a G5 team to make the playoff if they've earned it, right? The format should not have allowed for Tulane and James Madison to make this, right? I firmly believe that. And the result you saw on the field led some credibility to that thought, right? But Pete's, by the way, talking right now, and he's talking about you guys. But yeah, I think that needs to change. Kind of felt bad for Summerall. Losing a parent is tough. Absolutely. Keys to victory against Georgia. Jason, I can't spoil my content, man. The first one will be, they've got to be better in the secondary. There's a handful of open receivers today. One of them, Retzloff, missed down here on the south end zone or the south side of the field. He missed a wide open receiver, and that was a miscommunication. So, way cleaner game than we've seen this year. They were good. Pete just said Keywon will be ready for the Sugar Bowl. I have no doubt about that. No doubt. All the G5 teams are cheering on the Dukes tonight. No kidding. Yeah, they need James Madison needs to show. They need to show in this game. So, what else you guys got though? What was today like for you? That's what I'm more curious about. Pete's talking about cleat policy right now. They're talking about the shoes that you wear whatever shoes you want as long as it's team colors. I don't know how that gets brought up in a press conference after a playoff win, but that just happened. So bizarre. But how did you guys tell me, how did today feel for you? I told you guys, I talked to some friends going into the game that kind of felt like they were going to be emotional. Me sitting up here, there were some chill bump moments today. And the game day ops people, the atmosphere that they created, it was part of it. But and today is a great example because this was a 31-point win over Tulane, right? But the atmosphere here was unbelievable today. It was incredible. The way you guys were into it, and then all the production and all that, and then the stakes of the game, the playoff signage, all that. The fact that we don't have all of these playoff games until the championship. I'm fine with the championship being neutral site, just like the NFL. But the fact that this is not what we do is insane. It's absolutely insane. Borderline criminal that this is as new as it is, and they still restrict this. And look, New Orleans is a fun trip. You guys are all going to make the trip to New Orleans, and the Sugar Bowl is something. But that shouldn't be there. And if Ole Miss wins that game, you have to go to freaking Phoenix. I mean, only the suits want that. Fans don't want that. Viewers on TV don't want that. That is only something that the suits want. And I can't stand that. Today was proof positive. I've already believed that. But after witnessing it in person, on-campus playoff games, they have to be. They have to be what we do forever. And I will argue that forever. At media days when we sit with Sankey, I'm going to talk to him about it because this is what college football needs to be, is what Vaught Hemingway was today. That was college football at its finest today. And the fact that everything else after tonight is going to be corporate suits, you know, sponsors and all that crap is a disservice to the sport. Austin, really appreciate your super chat, man. Thank you. Thank you, buddy. I really appreciate you. Type this 30 minutes after the game is over, and I'm one of the few people left in VHS. Don't want this to be over. We all love you and appreciate you. Merry Christmas. Hottie tight. Austin, thank you, man. Where are you? Where are you right now? Because I should be able to see you. Tell me where you are. I'm on the 45 is where I am. The 45 on the north end zone side. So like wave or something, because there's probably about a dozen of you left in there. So went and picked up my son from Georgia Day for Christmas break, made it in time. Heck yeah, James. Hope you guys have a great one. I know old boys feeling miserable. What an awesome atmosphere. Felt amazing all around. Yes, it did. Will admit, I shed a tear. Not ashamed to admit it. One of the best days I've ever had. There's no shame in that at all. None at all. New Orleans is going to be great. Let's take over the dome. Everybody affiliated with Ole Miss is going to be there. Wonder if Pete calling the plays on the field will have a negative effect, also taking on the roles of being both DC and head coach. I am curious. He's going to call the plays through the playoff, and that makes sense, right? Continuity. I do wonder if he's going to look into turning that over to Brian Brown. By the way, I think Trinidad is on ESPN or the SEC Network right now, like literally right now. So I shouldn't tell you guys to leave this, but I do think if you want to see your quarterback, there's another player out there too, but he's got his pads off. Oh, no, they're done. Never mind. They just wrapped up the interview. My bad. I can't tell who that is because he doesn't have his jersey on. But now they're visiting with some fans over there too. That's cool. That's really cool. When the crowd erupted with Pete chants, I had goosebumps, almost shed a tear. I mean, the immediacy, the way that – because, I mean, you guys know how he took ownership of the program right away, and the way that he advocated for you and he advocated for the players. You guys clearly have appreciated that. Braxton did look really good. Feels great. Feels really good to be a Rebel today. Ole Miss absolutely crushed it. Won on all levels. Yeah. The game day ops people deserve a ton of credit today too. They do. Feelings on Texas A&M and Miami. Marcel Reed. My goodness. I mean, an average day and they win by multiple scores. Scottsdale is a dope town, but it is not a football town that needs to host a playoff game. Yeah, and like the stadium too. It just doesn't make sense. On-campus playoff games are the only answer. 100% agree. As a mid-40s lifer, it was a little surreal today, but honestly expected if I'm being serious about where this program is. See, that's the other thing too. This didn't feel fluky, right? There was no like imposter syndrome here. This is where the program and the athletic department and the university and the fan base fits. Fit is the right word. Belong is, I think fit is the right word. It today fit. It made sense. It wasn't fluky. It was, this is what it's supposed to be. This is what it's supposed to feel like. This is what it is now. Wearing the Patrick Wills 49 jersey by the SEC Network set. All right. I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. I think I see you. I think I see you, Austin. Hope you're having fun down there, man. Seemed like a clean game penalty-wise. Happy to see that. Yeah, the officials let a lot go today. There was a lot of holding that they let go, but it seemed like both sides. So all good. If it's consistent, all good. Texas A&M was a fraud. Were they? I mean, Miami made the playoff as an at-large team. They're good too, but I tend to agree with you also. You demand? Appreciate you. Early line on Ole Miss Georgia. Ole Miss minus 6.5. Definitely not minus. Ole Miss will not be the favorite. But 7.5 to 8.5, I think, will be about the line in this game. Oh, I mean, Ole Miss will be the underdog. And you think they could play loose. Sorry. I saw your correction. My bad. How does Oregon Stadium get so loud? It's small. A fully engaged fan base. And the way it's built also traps in sound. Very much on top of the field. Wonder how Lane felt today. Terrible. Can't believe he walked away from this. One of the highlights of living is supposed to be enjoying the fruits of your labor. I promise you, terrible. There's no way you can watch this and feel anything other than regret for not being there. 100%. Somebody sitting in these seats that hasn't been a starter is going to need to make a big play in a big game for us. You think Pete needs to hire a DC after the playoffs? He already has. So Brian Brown, who came, he was a DC and came to work for Pete. I'm curious to see if he'll be the play caller next year or not, but he can be. He's ready for that. He has been before. So, anything else being said about Kiwan? I think he'll play. He ran hard today. So any questions about his mentality or desire, considering all the weirdness? Not today. Georgia favored by essentially a touchdown? I think so. Breaking the Guinness Book of World Records for Santa hats is amazing. It was funny. It did make me laugh. Watching from Aiken, South Carolina. Hey, my home state. Glad to see you. Ole Miss has been an underdog in only three games the last two seasons, all to Georgia. How about that? Did Pete do the game management today on the sideline or someone else? Thought I saw Judge call timeout in the first half. Judge did call timeout in the first half, but that's okay. I mean, when you've got a guy like a Joe Judge on the field, who's obviously heavily involved in the offense, Judge had a big play sheet, and he was in constant communication all day with Pete and then also in the headset. When you have a former head coach to lean on like that, why would you not? I mean, just use the resources available to you. A guy like him can only help you. And clearly he helped him today. And especially as he's learning and growing as a head coach, having a guy like Judge around, and then Frank Wilson, when he gets there, who's also been a head coach before, can only help. I mean, it really can only help this team. How Lacey went down makes me believe he may have a torn, strained pectoral. It looked bad, but he came back and ran hard. But I think that's great that Judge was. I love, just couldn't tell from our sitting. Yeah, that was Judge. And I don't think assistants can call timeout. And so that maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think they can. And so that was funny that they were given a timeout when but Pete was right there too. But yeah, I made sure to watch Joe Judge because it was constant in the headset, constant on the play sheet, and constantly back and forth with Golding. He was very involved. He was very, very involved. So that was interesting for sure. And, you know, we'll see what it looks like for Georgia. I don't think free shot necessarily is the right phrase because it's a playoff game and it's, you know, a team that you competed with on their field. Tulane had a free shot today. But I do think that the pressure's on Georgia. And, you know, you wonder if a long layoff can affect them, or the longer layoff can affect them or help Ole Miss like it did last year in the playoff. But, you know, Kirby's so good at this that it may not matter. But Ole Miss should play loose and comfortable and just shoot your best shot and see what happens. It's a winnable game. You don't go to Athens and lose by a touchdown when you play the worst fourth quarter that this offense played all season long. The worst quarter that this offense played all season was the fourth quarter in Athens, and you lose by a touchdown and call a neutral site game against the same team not winnable. Not even going to entertain that idea. It's a winnable game. 100% it's a winnable game. Secondary's got to play better than they did today. Yeah, that's really the key in this game because Georgia cooked the back end of Ole Miss's defense. They have got to be better in the secondary. And, you know, there's some some physical limitations and mismatches that Georgia is just going to have in this game, but they can play better than they did last time in Athens. So they'll have to do that. They'll have to do a better job of that in this game. Ole Miss should have won that game. Should have. They didn't, but they should have. But in a way, in a weird way, aren't you guys glad that they didn't? So you got to have what today was. I'm telling you, the impact that today is going to have on the future of this program is really significant. It was perfect. I mean, literally perfect. Weather perfect. Everything went beautifully. The Grove looked great. Team played great. It was a perfect day. And so, you know, beating Georgia would have stopped today from happening. So it's kind of funny how things work out that way sometimes. So would Lane have left undefeated Ole Miss? I think so. I really do. He was what Lane told this team was they weren't good enough for him. That's what he told them. That's what he told this place. Or what he actually said without saying it was he doesn't believe enough in himself to build where he was, and he needs to lean on the successes of others in order for himself to be successful. When you talk about Heismans and stuff, like, oh, I need to, like, the best programs have Heisman trophies. That's leaning on and being dependent on the success of others for you yourself to be successful. Kirk Cinetti doesn't care about Heisman trophies, does he? He doesn't need them to go undefeated and win a conference championship, does he? That's the difference between somebody that has real belief in their ability and somebody that is brilliant in ways and is lacking in others. There you go. There you go. Pete said post game on the field when asked about Georgia, he jokingly said, nah, not really. I wonder if the Brandon big game will get to him as a coach. I know what he preaches, but still. Could. I mean, it could. I don't think it will. Because think about where he's been. This is not, and he talked about that going into this game. I was like, hey, guys, I did coach at Alabama for half a decade. Like, he has a national championship ring as a coach. It's not a head coach, but still, like, he's been in this before. This isn't new. It's only new because he's got HC next to his name and not DC. But he has been involved in this process before. And so it'll work again. But how about the Manning family making an appearance? Yeah, that was the timing of that is not, you know. Oh, man, the bitter LSU fans back. Dude, you clown. Ole Miss before Lane was a crap show. Show Lane respect. He doesn't deserve it. No. Sorry. No. But again, he enjoyed watching the same way you did today. man. Oh, man. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up, guys. Really appreciate you. We'll be back live tomorrow night at 9.
He's amazing. Hey. Hey.
I'll see you guys tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. See you then. Enjoy. Go celebrate. Go watch Ben and then go celebrate. And I'll see you guys tomorrow night at 9. Y'all have a good night. Go have fun.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.